The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, watching us on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 and on the PCTV Select app. I'm Sean Sayre. Good morning. It's Thursday, March 19th. Glad to have you here watching or listening. Any way you're joining us here on the show, always appreciate it. We have a great show for you this morning. We have Mayor Peter Marchetti, Mayor of the City of Pittsfield. First time I'm interviewing him here on the show in a long time. So glad to have him here for the full hour this morning. We have so many things going on in the city of Pittsfield right now, and we haven't even gotten into the busy season yet. But things are heating up, cooking up here a little bit. We're going to be talking about things that are going on in Pittsfield and in the news and other things like that. So definitely want to stick around for the full hour this morning. First, let's get to the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us this morning from the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy and cold. Near steady temperature in the lower 20s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly cloudy. Highs around 40. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday night, mostly cloudy. Cold with lows in the upper 20s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, I was hearing we were going to get maybe a little bit of a burst of snow in the evening tonight over tomorrow, but nothing to worry about. We're kind of done, I think, with the big stuff now. I want to say that. As soon as I say that, of course, we're going to probably get a 12-inch snowstorm, you know.
You just jinxed us.
it does happen. It does happen. But, you know, March 19th, you know, what are the chances?
We've had snow in May, Sean.
I know. It's crazy. Welcome to the show, Mayor Marchetti. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
And we have a special guest along with us here, too.
He's already passed out.
Oh, no. Well, here he is. This is, and for our radio listeners.
This is Charlie.
We have Charlie, and Charlie is a
King Cavalier Spaniel, 9 weeks old yesterday.
9 weeks old, and he's being very well behaved here in the studio, I got to say, although you may hear a yip here and there from Charlie.
Oh, no, he's out. No, okay. We've been playing since 5:30 this morning, so he's done.
Good. Always fun to have a puppy in the studio. Glad to have you here this morning. Lots of stuff going on in Pittsfield. I don't know even where to start. I wrote down a bunch of stuff.
And I'm laughing. You're like, we haven't got to the busy part yet. Well, I'm already on the busy part with budget.
I would imagine.
Right, budget preparation. Yeah. We just haven't, the public part of it hasn't happened yet.
Right, and there's a joint school committee and city council meeting coming up pretty soon as the charter requires, right? And that's tonight. And that's at City Hall. And what types of things do you do at that meeting?
Well, so it's, by the charter, the administration is supposed to provide a state of the city. Mm-hmm. And so what I have done since I have become mayor is try to put stuff into a comparison. And so there's three pieces. There'll be my presentation. There'll be the finance director's presentation. And then Tom Scanlon, who is our auditor, will give a presentation about the fiscal year 25 mm-hmm. audit. When I took office, you know, we hear all this stuff. And I started to do comparisons of tax rates, property values, tax bills. And so the logic behind a tax bill is it's always the process to close the gap of the budget. So we get our state monies, we get our local receipts and revenues, excise tax, meals tax, hotel mill tax, cannabis revenue tax. And then the remainder is made up through taxes. And so as we set
taxes,
a budget,
you mean property tax,
property taxes. Mm-hmm. And so we set, the number, and then it's kind of a process. If property values go up, your tax rate goes down. Mm-hmm. If your property values go down, your tax rate goes up, because the end game is to get that amount of money that you've said that you need to raise when you set the budget. And so, the last two fiscal years that were my budgets, property values have gone through the roof. Mm-hmm. And so we always talk about the tax rate. And so the tax rate's actually gone down 91 cents per thousand over the 2 years. And so I don't really
tax bills have gone up.
The tax bills have gone up. Right. And so it's hard to say, yeah, the tax rate went down, because nobody cares. It's all about the tax bill.
Yeah.
And if you take my property, for example, fiscal year 24, my property value went from about 205,000 to 360,000. So almost doubled.
Yeah.
My tax bill went up 24.5% for that year. And only because the value of my property went up. When you look at the properties around me, my next door neighbor's house sold for 360 something. Mm. The house diagonally across the street sold for over 400. Four or five doors down sold for 500.
So those aren't fantasy valuations that people are getting. Those are real life amounts where if you're going to sell your house, that is actually what it's probably going to sell for, pretty close. Where it used to be, when you got your tax valuation, it was like, well, that's really not what your house is going to sell for. And now it's like, well, no, actually, it might be pretty close.
Well, and, you know, the market is somewhat supply and demand. Mm-hmm. So there's not tons of houses. So if you want a property, it's the seller's market. Mm-hmm. I want X number of dollars. But I think if you talk to some realtors, you see houses selling for even over the asking price. Mm. There's bidding wars, and maybe that's now coming to the end, but that was happening for a year plus, driving property values up. And so
it's a tough time right now for buyers, though, because the mortgage rates are really terrible, right?
Well, mortgage rates are high and property values are high. Mm. So it's two negatives on someone looking to purchase. Plus, like we said, the supply and demand, the supply isn't really there. And so what I attempt to do is put two different kinds of comparisons, right? Let's do the tax rate. And I think it'll be no shock. Mm-hmm. Pittsfield's tax rate is the highest in the county or second highest in the county.
That's the
rate per thousand. Mm-hmm. When you turn around and then say, okay, what is the average tax bill? Pittsfield falls to like 10, 11, or 12 in that piece. And so if we're having conversations, let's have them honestly. Mm-hmm. And no, I'm not going to sit here and say to you, well, you know, I did my job. The tax rate went down.
Yeah.
Because you quickly say the tax bill went up, but let's understand why the tax bill went up. Let's talk about where we are in comparison to the other Berkshire communities, but also where are we with the other gateway cities, especially the gateway cities further east, but still in Western Mass. And then let's talk about what you get for those rates. And, you know, when we say, hey, this community has a cheaper rate, well, do they have water and sewer in their community? Mm-hmm. Do they really have to plow many roads?
Mm-hmm.
And
trash pickup.
Do they have, you know, curbside trash pickup?
Yep.
Do they? And so it's about the services and prioritizing what we want. Yeah.
There's some things you can do as a larger city in the area that other smaller communities can't do at scale, right? And that's one of the reasons why the curbside trash pickup can work in Pittsfield, because you have so many and you can negotiate a better price and do things like the toters and stuff like that make it more manageable.
Well,
but what do you do with a budget, for example, when you have some sort of external pressures? And like this year, for example, where we see the state budget is not really coming in to save us in a lot of ways. The state's having their problems also, and looking at all the different school budgets throughout the county, and everybody is facing those same pressures. They're facing higher health insurance. Mm-hmm. They're facing shortages. They're looking at layoffs. They're looking at 10, 12, 14% budget increases, which everyone is balking at. So obviously that's a larger external pressure that every community is dealing with. What then do you do to figure out how to balance that?
Well, so, I mean, I think if anybody's been paying attention to the school committee meetings, the budget process has been completely different than in the past. We know the dollar amount that we're short.
Mm-hmm.
We've said it before.
And how did you arrive at that budget amount? How did you know you're going to be short by that much?
Well, so if you take everything into play, right? So you've said what are the driving factors?
Yeah.
So one is employee salaries.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all set by contract.
Mm-hmm.
So you can quickly recalculate what the salaries are for fiscal year 27. Our health insurance increase was much better than what we were expecting.
Hmm.
It was slightly over 7%,
mm-hmm.
but 7% of a $30 million figure is a pretty large number.
So only double the rate of inflation.
Right. Well, we were expecting maybe upwards to
20%. Right, which is crazy. We've almost gotten used to those kinds of crazy health insurance increases.
7% was kind of a great number. And we know every year what our retirement costs, you know, equal. And so on the school side, when you add all that up and you say, okay, if I was to fund the school for everything that we do right now at the new rates, what's that cost?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the $4 million shortfall is at the moment. If you really dig down deep, part of it is the loss of students that we had because, you know, the school monies from the state are based on students.
Mm-hmm.
But also every community is rated in terms of poverty on a scale of 1 to 12.
Mm.
Pittsfield for a long time was in 10.
Mm.
A couple of years ago, we fell to 11.
Mm-hmm.
We've climbed back up to 10.
And so when we fell to 11, we got more state aid.
We did.
For that.
Mm-hmm. And so by going from 11 to 10, you're losing about $3 million in state aid.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's a huge chunk. How do you make that up in a school budget?
Well, so, you know, I think the superintendent has been doing a student-based budget based on needs. We haven't fully seen a line item, line by line, school by school. We'll see that
next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday,
yeah.
For the first time. I think in our presentation last week, we saw potentially 21 positions being cut,
mm-hmm.
With no connection to school, with really no connection to anything. Mm. In theory, and I'm sure.
And nobody likes to see that, right?
No, none of us want to see it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in there, there's also a lot of other positions that aren't being filled that are currently vacant,
mm-hmm.
right? And so there's some saving grace there that the impact may be on vacant positions mm-hmm. that we need, that we couldn't fill, that we won't fill.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the city side, as we begin the process and every department has turned their budgets in, I'm looking at where we're at, and the requests are $2 million more than the monies that mm-hmm. we can afford. So, you know, we're looking at the budget really kind of line by line. Sometimes I feel like I'm really being a penny pincher, but I had a budget meeting yesterday where we budgeted $15,000 last year. We budgeted $15,000 this year, and we've only used $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know we're talking about, what, $10,000? But I want to be looking at the budget, and I want to be looking at line items. And I know that, you know, when we're budgeting for a particular line item, we say, okay, this is what we need. But what if this happens and what if this happens? So there's additional monies that are placed in that line item based on a couple different scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
How real are those scenarios, right? Because if I over budget in my expenses and say there's $3 million there that really doesn't need to be there because I've over budgeted
mm-hmm.
For whatever purpose. And then I under budget my revenues by a million.
Mm.
I'm making $4 million worth of cuts that I might not have to make. And so, you know, we're going through the budget line by line, department by department, and saying, okay, have we actually accurately predicted what the budgeted expense is going to be. We are now four departments through the 22 departments that we need to do. And we still have, you know, about 4 weeks to really wrap it up. I know all the departments have been scheduled, but it's a line by line, department by department. You know, I think on the school side, the superintendent is really going line by line, but school by school.
Yeah.
You know, what are your needs? And
the school budget out of the entire city budget is what percentage?
Probably close to 45. So it's 88 million out of 229.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of the school's budget is Chapter 70 money that, you know, comes and goes. The city appropriation is 18 million. Mm-hmm. So
a majority of the school budget is really state funded.
Correct.
Whereas in other communities, it wouldn't be that same percentage.
Correct.
Right. So right. If you're looking at a Lenox or, you know, Williamstown or something like that, a Great Barrington, going to have a completely different percentage of payment. And therefore, also, when state funding fluctuates, so when the state funding goes down, they're going to be less impacted because they're paying for more of their schools from their local property taxes and receipts than Pittsfield is, right?
And you know, I think when you look at the big picture, at some point in time, you're going to be forced to make decisions that you should have made a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as we look at maybe the Crosby potential new build, Crosby-Conti combination, at a minimum, it's probably going to be a Crosby-Conti combination, which means we close an elementary school.
Right.
Do we need to close another elementary school? Mm-hmm. You know, where are we? Do we have enough students? You know, as the superintendent talks about, we have some schools that have a 1 in 12 student-teacher ratio. We have some that have 1 in 25.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the right number? Mm-hmm. And if we were equal across the board and had some equity, what's the savings in terms of salaries? Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, I think a lot of people would fight to, oh my God, but we're losing people. Not really. Mm-hmm. If we have vacant positions, we're not really losing people if we're consolidating and paying for what we need to pay for, but not paying for more.
Yeah, it's certainly difficult, has been difficult this year for the school department to fill some of those positions, and that's another whole conversation in itself, but then that collides, of course, with the budget process this year, and we'll see how that all works out. Peter Marchetti, the mayor of the city of Pittsfield, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, and Charlie, who's being very well-behaved.
Charlie is sound asleep.
And, you know, you mentioned the elementary schools, and certainly Conti and Morningside community schools built in the mid to late 70s in the open classroom plan style, a very brief moment in time where I think it was a hallucination of some kind where they decided to make schools like that. I know because I went to a high school that had that plan in place and it was fairly quickly replaced as well. You know, those schools are slated at some point to go away, I assume. Could that happen this year during this budget process?
Well, so Conti, no.
Mm-hmm.
Because Conti would be phased in as part of the Crosby project. We did at the last school committee meeting talk about Morningside and, you know, what is the potential savings and is it feasible? And
that opens up a whole bunch of other questions, too, about where those kids would go, how do you transport them, et cetera.
And I think over the last 2 weeks or by next Wednesday, over the last 2 weeks, the superintendent would be looking at all those pieces.
Mm.
You know, can those students fit in other schools? Are we able to transport them to the other schools? What would class sizes look like? Where would we be? Those were things that the school committee asked the superintendent to kind of look at. And, you know, you say that. I was the first third grade class into Morningside.
Were you really? Yeah.
I don't know, 1975 or 1976.
Okay.
And I went back there last fall to do a DARE graduation. And just kind of was saying, hey, this is a special school. I came to the school 50 years ago when it opened for, you know, third grade. And the kids were like, wow, you're old. but nothing's changed.
Hmm.
It's the same school that I went to 50 years ago.
Right.
With the open classroom, with the smaller playground, because it's really landlocked between Cherry Street, 2nd Street, Burbank Street,
right.
The jail.
Yep.
And so it's time to have the conversations that is it really providing the best education? And it'll be a tough conversation.
Mm-hmm.
because nobody wants to lose their school.
Right. Would it save something in the budget process?
I think it does. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it does. And, you know, based on the budget process, that's, you know, scenario one is the two community schools getting additional funding to assist because of the open classrooms, the educational needs of the students. And so, you know, one of the big pieces for me about the middle school restructuring is that we finally put all of our kids in the same place. So the curriculum is the same. Mm-hmm. The styles are the same. No one is broken out based on where they live or what their family structure is like. And I think there could be a lot of help to both or all the students to kind of create that environment. You know, if we look at the inclusion models that we have at Stearns and Egremont, I think the more we put our Pittsfield kids together, the better all of them will flourish.
Well, and, you know, we're talking about school buildings, and you think about the positive of investing in your school buildings as well. And let's talk about what's on the front page of the Eagle today, which is Taconic High School being so popular that now we have to institute a lottery for enrollment, for admissions. And it starts with the Pittsfield and Richmond students, and then I assume would open up to other outside. But, I mean, can you imagine 10 years ago before the school opened and vocational education at Taconic, at that time seemed almost like a second thought.
Right.
Because the facilities were so old and sort of left gone. And, you know, now we build a new school. We put a whole bunch of investment in. We tune it to what the county needs and what the city needs. And suddenly we've got a huge success on our hands. So putting money and investment into the right buildings and schools, you know, right sizing things or whatever, can really make an impact.
Well, and I also think some of the philosophy of life changed. So if we go back to when we were students, you must go to college.
Of course.
You must get your four-year degree. Mm-hmm. You must. Mm-hmm. Well, we all went to college. And in our generation, we had few plumbers and few electricians and few tradesmen that took the path. And you know, so like, let's have the conversation about when I grew up, what do I want to be? Mm. Right. When I was out on the campaign trail, we talked about how would it have been to be the guidance counselor when Stephanie Wilson walked in and said, hey, I want to be an astronaut. Mm-hmm. Right. You don't hear that all the time. And I hope the conversation was shoot for the stars. Right.
Yeah.
No pun intended. you know, be what you want to be. Give it your all. And now look at her. Right. The same thing when Elizabeth Mitchell walked in and said, hey, I want to be a world famous actress. Mm-hmm. You know, where was that encouragement? Because we all know that road is a long road.
Sure.
Right. And kudos to both of them. Mm-hmm. So we can, you know, if we really think about it, we produce some really good quality people that go on to do a lot of good things. One of my high school classmates is a United States congressman for the state of Texas. we can all be what we want to be. And that's kind of the philosophy I think we need to go back to, that there's nothing too small for you or nothing too big for you. If you're happy doing X, no one should tell you that you could do better if that's what you really want to do. And if you really can be all you can be, no one should also put the blockade up that says, no, you can't do that. It's not realistic. Yeah. Everyone should have the opportunity to be what they want to be.
Well, there's probably a certain amount of, as we say, skating to where the puck is going to be, because we're living in an era now where things seem to be rapidly changing, and we're trying to all gauge, you know, where how we prepare our students for their future careers, for their future lives, in the shadow of this AI thing that's coming that we've talked about a lot on this show, and I'm sure everyone's had those conversations. Where are the entry-level jobs going to be? Maybe they're not going to be there the way they used to be. And that's where maybe the vocational education is the right play for a lot of people, where in the past it wasn't. But you don't also want to swing the pendulum too far so that you're discouraging people from the greater academic pursuits either, right? I mean, it has to be some kind of balance.
Well, I mean, I find the AI conversations to be fascinating and scary.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't think they're going to be replacing the mayor anytime soon with Claude.
Well, you know what? I think there's a lot that they're not going to replace them, right? If you go out to dinner, your bartender, your hostess, your waitress, waiter, I don't think those disappear.
Right.
Right.
The problem is, do we have enough economy in those jobs to, pay our tax bills in order to fund the city budget? I mean, it all has to balance out somewhere.
Right. But I think there's something, regardless of everything, human nature, as that most people need people contact.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you have a job where you're at home, that's all you do is work from home, and you don't see anybody, you have that need, urge, desire to connect with people.
Yeah.
And so regardless of where we go, the connection, I think, is still going to be needed. So there'll be a balance found someplace. Sure, it'll make some career pathways easier, but I don't know that Claude's going to fix my plumbing and Claude's going to fix my electrical.
Mm-hmm.
Is it real or is it a fade?
Fad. I suspect it's real.
I suspect it's real too, but how do we use it?
Right.
Right. I'm looking up at the wall and seeing records, which were something that were pretty prevalent in my generation and growing up.
Mm-hmm.
In the 90s, 2000, if you show a kid today a record, do they know what it is? But yet, records are on a comeback.
Yeah.
And
why is that?
Right.
Because people want something substantial, right?
Right.
They want something that they can touch and feel and play, because everything else is, sort of ordinary at this point. Okay, I pick up my phone, I hit play, I understand what that is. I run a file on my computer, I know what that is. But it's not the real thing. That's, I think, why vinyl came back to a certain extent.
I mean, it's interesting because you would have thought, I still remember putting on the headset, sticking the 8-track in the machine and laying on the floor and listening to the music.
Mm-hmm.
Records were at the same time frame.
Yeah.
Cassette tapes were at the same time frame. So why just vinyl and not? I think we just have to let it play out and not let it fully control us, but let us.
But to know also that the students are facing a different world than
correct.
We did 50 years ago, and that, just learning, for example, we've had conversations here on this program about what does teaching and learning look like in the face of AI?
Right.
How do we know that students are getting those processes in their brain about writing and about reading? The sort of the basic things that aren't just about those functions. It's about how you think and it's about how you learn. And if you don't do that, if you're always going to AI to write your term papers for you or to finish your sentences or things, are you really developing your thought process? Those are big thing, and I'm sure the schools are going to be wrangling with that.
Well, and I think for me, when I spent time at BCC working in the math lab trying to help students, to me it was always about process rather than the right answer.
Yeah.
Especially when you started to get into algebraic equations and more.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think maybe there needs to be more emphasis on why you're learning something rather than you've got to learn this, because I think the why is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I a math major, I have a BA in math. what have I used it for?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that I can check that box, but what I can tell you...
Well, you do a decent job on budgeting, so I guess that probably helped a little bit.
I think it helped with logic and reasoning,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I still remember coming home and saying, hey, Mom, I'm taking this class called Real Analysis, and the only number in the book are page numbers.
Oh.
And it was a math class, but it was, mm-hmm. you know, an out there theory mm-hmm. type.
But it was about the process, the thinking process.
It's about thinking mm-hmm. process. And, yeah. and, you know, maybe we should spend more time on those mm-hmm. avenues, mm-hmm. right?
And I think about the ethics of AI and things like that also are things that we really ought to be considering. We'll talk more about that. We're reaching the top of the hour, believe it or not, and we will take our short break here on Morning Drive with the mayor of the city of Pittsfield, Peter Marchetti, my guest here for the full hour this morning. We'll come right back to that conversation in just a moment. This is, again, Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM. Stick around. We'll be returning right after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Do you have a favorite show on WTBR-FM? Did you miss the last episode? We've got good news for you. Most of our shows are now available on podcast. You can subscribe to your favorite and have the latest episode downloaded to your device automatically on Apple, Google, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or Overcast. Go to WTBRFM.com/podcasting and find out more today. WTBRFM, for the love of radio.
Some news outlets tell you what to believe, and they limit your access to the whole story. Some of them are just plain ugly and mean. Social media is filled with rumors, misinformation, personal attacks. Where locally can you get the whole story, unfiltered, so that you can make informed decisions at the ballot box? There's really only one place. It's on PCTV. On cable, on the PCTV Select app, and at PittsfieldTV.org. The whole story since 1986. PCTV. See it all and decide for yourself.
Larry Kratka here on WTBR, and I want to tell you about my show, Sweet Country Music. Now, every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon, I'll play some of the best classic country artists like Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, Patsy Cline, and many more. I'll play nothing before 2008. Please join me Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for the next edition of Sweet Country Music here on 89.7 WTBR-FM for the love of radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR, Lee Lennox and Stockbridge, also on the PCTV Select app and on channel 1301 on your cable dial, Access Pittsfield. Glad to have you here this morning. On March 19th, the Thursday morning, with the mayor of the city of Pittsfield, Peter Marchetti, my guest here this morning. Getting right back to that conversation in just a moment. First, one more look at the weather forecast.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy and cold. Near steady temperature in the lower 20s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly cloudy. Highs around 40. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday night, mostly cloudy.
cold with lows in the upper 20s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. Mid-March weather for sure. Not as warm as we'd like it, but, you know, that's the way it goes. We'll get through that, and we'll have spring pretty soon. I think, what is it, only a couple weeks before the opening of the Red Sox season, opening day coming up, and then we'll be right into it, right? It'll feel like spring.
I'm holding judgment on that one.
All right.
I walked into City Hall yesterday after going to a meeting and was talking to Tom Collin, who's one of the RSVP volunteers, and I said to him, so did you enjoy spring, summer, and fall? Because it's back to winter.
Yeah, we have weeks like that, don't we?
Yeah,
you get all the weather, sometimes in one day. So we have that occasionally. Peter Marchetti, the mayor of City of Pittsfield, is here, my guest this morning on the show. And let's talk about a couple of things going on the ground in the city. Recently, I saw that the West Housatonic Fire Station is going to be closing temporarily or indefinitely right now for radon. What's going on with that?
So there was some testing and radon levels at the fire department, and that particular station came back extremely high. Brian Filio, our building maintenance director, has been on it since Sunday. He called me at home Sunday early afternoon, closed the station. We already have contractors in and evaluating and putting into place what we need to. So I'm afraid to say it won't be that long that it's closed, but I also don't want to say that it's going to be a short period of time. But yeah. As of yesterday, the work was already beginning to mitigate the issues and get it back into place.
And in the interim, how are the calls handled and things like that for that side of town?
So in that station, there was one officer and two firefighters. They have been moved to headquarters in the reserve bay. And so the calls are coming out of headquarters rather than that station. Yeah. So.
But people don't have to worry about, they'll still be responding.
They'll still be responding.
Yep. Let's talk about North Street for a minute. And before we get into the various things going on there, I want to say sort of a tip of the hat to Marshall Razor, who we lost this week, right? A titan of industry in downtown North Street for many, many years. Everybody knows Marshall Razor if you've ever been into car hardware.
I mean, one of the driving forces of downtown Pittsfield Inc., from the get-go. And, you know,
The spirit of North Street in a lot of ways,
yes,
right?
Yep. Well, and, you know, I think that's true with some of the staples of our downtown, right? We have some really anchored shops that have been there for 40, 50, 60 years. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be able to weather the test of times and do what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. They found their niche in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
So what's the environment like right now for other North Street businesses? Is it a difficult time to start and run a business, not only on North Street in Pittsfield, but anywhere? And what are the challenges they have, and what are the kind of things the city can help with to make that better?
So, I mean, I think there's any time is a difficult time to open a business. Mm-hmm. And I think statistics and data show that, you know, a lot of smaller businesses succeeding for the first year or two is a challenge. Mm-hmm. I think, one, rising costs and rents. Two, trying to find staff. Mm-hmm. You know, doesn't matter whether you're a small business or one of our larger employers, you can't find staff. Mm. That leads to, if I find staff, where do they live?
Yeah.
You know, we just continue the role. You know, we had a ribbon cutting yesterday for handcrafted catering that is in the Dunham Mall, where the old Amazing Pavilion has been.
Okay.
We've had two other restaurants close, both Marie's and Marketplace.
Mm-hmm. And then Thistle and Thorn.
And then
also,
Thistle
right?
and Thorn.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that we, as a community, just want a broad brush and say they closed because of X, Y, and Z. All of those closed for different reasons. Mm. Thistle and Thorn was a driving, succeeding business.
Yeah.
But more than what one person could handle. Mm. You know, I know the city tried to say, how can we help? The city doesn't have tons of money to be providing folks stuff for business. Mm. And never is the money just handed over for operating costs. Mm-hmm. If we are looking to help a company, depending on the company and the size of the company, we could be looking at GE Economic Development Funds to incentivize, but that comes with the attachment of job creation and capital investment. Mm-hmm. And we're talking millions of dollars of capital investment, not 20,000.
Yeah.
There's ties and TIFs. So if you're looking to expand your business and you need to add on, and it's going to add millions of dollars to the assessment of your property, we can phase in that additional cost. I know folks say, why are you giving them a break? If they don't build, there is no additional tax dollars. Mm-hmm. So longer term, it's very beneficial to the city. And at the time of either rehabilitation or construction or whatever is taking place, it allows them a better cash flow to do the project using their monies for capital funds. For our smaller businesses, the city can put or have been able to put folks in touch with Downtown Pittsfield Inc. Mm-hmm. At one point in time, they were providing a number of grants, or they were managing grants for some other entities. The TDI equity program has been in Pittsfield now for 4 or 5 years.
And that's through Mass Development.
Mm-hmm. Giving folks money. PERC, Pittsfield Economic mm-hmm. Revitalization Corporation, can do technical assistance grants mm-hmm. or...
But those are all very focused, specific grants for things that you can do to, refurbish space or to buy equipment or something like that. It won't necessarily provide operating funds or
correct
things that businesses generally need to go day to day.
And we, if we started down that road of providing operating funds to every business, we could never.
I don't see how that's manageable.
It's not.
Yeah. The point of running a small business is to make money.
Right.
If you're not making money, you shouldn't be in business.
During COVID, there were lots of money issued mm-hmm. to lots of businesses and restaurants to keep them afloat during that process. Maybe not every business remembers that they got some. Mm. At that point in time, I think for the technical assistance grants, what type of place are you opening? Do you have a website? Do you have a point of sale system? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those are things that can be helpful. I know in 2024, I walked North Street and met with some of the new businesses. Some of them needed a consultant to help them with their business plan and how to arrange their store so that the product that they sold the most of was right there for people to see. Those funding for the consultant came from PERC. I think it's been helpful to some of those. Yeah. I think my office, Mike Coakley, the business development manager, and Justine Dodds are always welcoming folks to come in and have a conversation. I recently had a meeting with a business owner who kind of approached me on Facebook and was concerned that, we're only paying attention to downtown. Mm-hmm. And so we had a conversation and I'm like, well, let's talk about Jane Americas Inc. Mm-hmm. that bought the Conti Arcarve building, mm-hmm. A large investment, $5 million or so to buy a building. They're investing in the building right now mm-hmm. to reconstruct it to fit their needs. Mm-hmm. And soon we'll be employing 30 people mm-hmm. With the possibility of 100. The tech hub at the BIC mm-hmm. and Marius Optic Inc. So it's not just a North Street piece, but like one of the things
Yeah, economic development for the entire city has to look at everything in the big picture. But even the big picture of North Street, for example, we see almost like an evolution going on down there. And I think about the tie or the TIF that went to the old Berkshire County Savings Bank building on the corner there. Obviously an iconic building for downtown Pittsfield. You can't think of Pittsfield without thinking about that building because you see it in every shot. When you look at Park Square, it's right there, right? So it's it's indicative of that, and that's changing. It used to be a business sort of focused building. It was a bank building or other legal offices, things like that. Now it's going to be housing, right, with maybe some mixed use down below. But that is a shift, right? That's a change. I think of what's going on at the Wright building and what did happen at the Enoda building and things where we're changing the way that downtown looks. Is that part of the overall vision for downtown Pittsfield going forward?
Well, it is. I think one of the things I was going to actually say about North Street is that we lack foot traffic, right? And so through COVID, there are many businesses that are headquartered downtown where their employees still haven't fully come back to work.
Sure.
That impacts the restaurants during the day because the population isn't, the downtown day population isn't there.
Sure, you need that.
I think if we go back 20 years when we were talking about putting condos up on North Street across from St. Joe, when we were talking about apartments up above Dottie's, I was like, who wants to live there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You need your driveway, you need your yard, you need a little bit of space for your puppy to run in the backyard, right? I mean, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But every time we build something downtown, there is a crowd of people that before the renovations are done, the apartments are leased and not available anymore.
Right.
So it's part of the plan. We did a housing study.
And of course, housing has been very much to the front of your agenda since you became mayor. And it was, of course, before you got here. It has certainly blown up in terms of a major issue, not only on the homelessness area, but then also the affordability of housing and just the ability, as you said, if you're going to attract people to come and work in Pittsfield, they also have to have somewhere to live that they can afford on the salary that they're making.
Well, and I think it's a cycle, right? Let's talk about seniors for a moment. How many seniors are trapped in a house that's too big for them, but there's no other option for them?
Absolutely.
Right? We haven't built senior housing in my lifetime, right? And so where do I go? I just stay in this house. I continue to live in a 4-bedroom house by myself or maybe with my spouse. And I could be someplace else. Now, that's not saying that every single senior has to move to senior housing, but they don't have an option to do anything but stay in their home.
And they want it to be a good option, too. They don't want it to be a downgrade. They don't want to say, well, I'd leave here, but, where should I go? What's going to be equal to this?
But say 200 seniors are trapped in their homes that, if there was a better alternative, would take it. That's 200 properties that open up for the next generation, whether it be a first-time home buyer or someone who's bought their first fixer-upper and is ready to move to the next level. So we got to look at it from the top down.
Yeah.
And when we talk about housing, we say, well, what do we need? Well, sure, we need housing for the homeless, but we need housing for seniors. We need market rate housing. We need affordable housing. And so what's the plan? So what I like about the Wright building and the Berkshire County Savings Bank building is that they have market rate housing with an affordable component. When we talk about Terrace 592, it's got the affordable component, the permanent supportive housing at both Zion Lutheran Church and West Hoosie. Again, a purpose. It's permanent supportive housing for those that are unhoused or living in the shelter. I think it's a bigger picture approach. And with North Street, there have been, or I should say downtown, 10 to 12 locations where the commercial space, floors 2 to whatever, are vacant. that can fit. And now with the state's new commercial conversion tax credits, it provides us another opportunity to put some of these projects in the queue to get funding.
So it's all those small things that that make up the larger picture. And I know the city is starting to work on its new master plan. Is that all tied in with that as well? And do we tie in things like economic development and housing, transportation? Are all those things going to be wrapped up in that process?
They'll all be. Mm-hmm. You know, housing, they'll all be their own components that will end up in there. Recreation, mm-hmm. parks, mm-hmm. Quality of life.
When was the last time a city had a master plan done?
Probably more than 10 years ago.
Yeah. So it's normal to be around 10 years or so updating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's been time to do it.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, as the world has changed with AI,
yeah,
the world has also changed for what people want. You know, I hear all the time about we need places for people to go. There's no nightlife. Part of that is, do people have staff, right? And do people come?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's been a challenge.
Right.
Yep.
So, you know, let's say to restaurant bar X, because I just don't want to call anyone out,
yeah,
that, you know, your last call's at 9, you shut your doors at 10, but you used to do last call at 11 and shut your doors at midnight.
Yeah.
People want that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they go out, they find the staff, they pay the staff. Well, through COVID, we all got used to, hey, I can like have a beer or a drink at home for a tenth of the price.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily have to go out. So, yeah.
But if you want an experience, you right. want to go to the theater, you want to see yep. a movie, you want to see a play, and then afterward you say, well, what's to do? You know, do we right. just go home
right.
or do we walk one block over here where there's something going on, where it looks fun?
Right.
That's what you want, right? You want a cluster of things to happen and also for people to feel safe doing that. And that's the big balance, right, of a
right.
downtown.
And, you know, I mean, we hear when I talk to Corey from The Beacon, 180,000 plus people walk in and out of that movie theater during the course of the year.
Still amazing, actually.
So how do you tap those folks? Mm-hmm. Like, where are they going?
Right.
You know, did they stop into Marketplace? Did they stop into Brazuca's? Did they go to Espinito's?
Mm-hmm.
If it was the daytime,
yeah,
did they stop in any the stores, mm-hmm. Dorian Ginger, Steve Valenti's, mm-hmm. did they do any of that stuff?
Right.
And how do we tap those people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I still get told all the time that we have no restaurants in Pittsfield. And they'll go, really? And then they go, well, really no quality restaurants in Pittsfield. And, I mean, if you start at Park Square and just start naming restaurants,
mm-hmm.
you're at like 20
yeah.
by the time you get up North Street.
So,
and quality
mm-hmm.
and type, I think, are very subjective. So
it's really more of a marketing thing. It's more
right.
of a getting that word out and understanding.
Like how do you know?
That you can do all those things.
You know, I mean, just go from Park Square to Columbus Ave and a block either way.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick's, 101 West, District,
mm-hmm.
Thistle and Mirth, Hot Harry's, Espinito's, Brazuca's, Sabarita's, The Old Ponchos, RJ's, Highland, Rare 297,
mm-hmm.
The Soda Chef. I think I got everybody. But that's a complete list
mm-hmm.
of two blocks of North Street
yeah.
and one block either way off the signs. It's there,
yeah.
right? How do you encourage people to come and what's your taste?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you want a family meal? Do you want the quality steak house dinner? Mm-hmm. What do you want? There's plenty to pick from.
Yeah, and of course, bringing people in to Pittsfield, especially in the summer months and other times where the cultural attractions bring people to the county, that's another big share of it, too. And other communities do pretty well in those time periods. And, you know, we certainly want Pittsfield to have its share of that, too. Mayor Peter Marchetti is my guest here this morning, mayor of the city of Pittsfield, joining us for the next 6 or 7 minutes anyway of the show. We're almost out of time, believe it or not. Got a lot of ground covered this morning. What's happening with the Dan Casey Causeway?
So we have been working on plans to repair it. We are applying for grant funding.
This is not as simple as the city going in and just repairing it themselves, right? This is tied in with the state somehow.
Well, it'll be a DEP monitored project. It's not just go in and put some concrete and
city can't do whatever it wants to do there, right? So the state is requiring a very expensive fix there.
Yeah, expensive and thorough.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have began to apply for some grant funding and stuff along the way.
But we should expect closures at least for the near future. It's not going to be any time in the next couple of years probably before that gets repaired.
I would say 2 or 3 years. Mm.
And it's been a long time coming, right? Yeah. It's continues to flood and get closed temporarily and come back. Obviously, that's difficult for those folks that are living in that area, and obviously, it's an emergency response type of an issue as well.
Well, and I think one of the pieces is, and we started talking about this during the beginning of the show about budgeting and, mm-hmm. and where we're at. It's very easy to say we don't have the money to do that now, so we'll do it later. And somehow, we've got to find a way to say we have to stop saying that because we know. Through wastewater treatment plant,
mm-hmm.
Through the water treatment plants, through potentially Wakona Park,
mm-hmm.
Building school buildings.
Yep.
These
are all big cash outlays or debt instruments, basically, looking at.
You know, if you look at, we talked about the fire station in Radon,
mm-hmm.
The basement of City Hall.
Yeah.
It's been closed for probably 15 years.
Yeah. Can't use it, right?
You're paying rent,
yeah.
To do a piece,
mm-hmm.
Old Town Hall,
yeah.
Empty. The Springside House empty.
Mm.
So we're looking at plans to house various city offices at the Springside House or Old Town Hall. I've asked the question: what's it going to cost me to fix the basement? Right? Mm-hmm.
And maybe it can't be fixed. I mean, that's the problem too, right? With radon especially, it's an issue like that.
Well, I think with the right HVAC systems in place,
mm-hmm.
you can mitigate and solve the problem. Mm-hmm. But it could be costly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're paying $150,000 a year in lease payments and you've been paying them for 15 years,
right.
that's kind of costly too.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, big picture. You got to look at that.
Well, and you know, we talked trash and how we could save money. When I look at leased spaces between city and school, we're leasing 100 North. We're leasing the Eagle Academy.
Mm-hmm.
We're leasing the Adult Learning Center.
Yep.
We're leasing bus operations. We're leasing. What does that cost?
Yeah, that's a big outflow.
And if that money could be someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
How much are we saving and where can we redirect those monies? And those are the questions that we've been asking. The problem is that I can't snap my fingers and make it happen.
No, and it's
overnight.
Not a short-term fix, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a longer-term fix.
Mm-hmm.
But let's determine what that fix is.
Yeah. If you don't start it somewhere, it will never start and it'll continue on.
And have the eye on the prize,
mm-hmm.
right? We've got to kind of figure it out.
Yep. And the last thing I'll just mention, still got potholes, but they're getting filled, right? This is pothole season. Normally, right. I would ask that question of Commissioner Morales, yes, and he's always very great about being on the show and giving us frank answers to those questions. They are starting to get filled in. There's a few, you know, you should definitely report them on the PittSmart app if you know about them and they're not getting filled, right?
So we know it happens every year. I would go on the record and say it's probably one of the worst years that we've seen in a long time. But we also know that cold patch only works for so long. It's not a great fix.
Right.
Asphalt plants haven't opened yet. We do have an RFP out to have a contractor assist. We are extremely short-staffed in the highway department. Mm. So
I sense a theme there.
There is a plan.
Yeah.
To get it done. And you know, I know the Hubbard Ave Bridge was a big concern,
yeah.
and I know that we put a ton of effort into fixing. You know, I even said to the commissioner, why can't we just put a metal grate there for now?
Right, yeah. I know, I've seen that on the Facebook comments as
well. Well,
there's drainage problems there.
It's not even, yeah, but the bigger issue is if you put a steel plate and you've taken out 3 inches, the bridge is now 3 inches closer to the roof of someone's truck.
Yeah.
And so here I thought I was being a genius and saying, let's do this, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, we don't want any can opener incidents at the Hubbard Ave Bridge. Mayor Peter Marchetti, thanks for being here this morning. It's been great. We're going to do a regular thing. Third Thursday mornings here on Morning Drive, you're going to get to listen to Mayor Peter Marchetti on the show. So we appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. And thanks to Charlie for being very well behaved.
Charlie's now awake and wanting to eat the table and everything else.
We can't have any of that. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this morning on Morning Drive. And we'll see you again tomorrow morning. Have a great day out there.